Have a few notices, please bear with me. We have an action-packed service. One thing to please note, next Sunday morning, Cafe Church. It'll be Cafe Church next Sunday. And to help things along on the timetable, coffee will be served from 10:15 onwards so that everybody will be in place for 10:30. So if you want a cup of coffee before you participate in the Cafe Church, 10:15, please. And we do need helpers. I have a note here, helpers from 9:45, and Jocelyn's asked me to say tray bakes, please, if people would bring cakes or tray bakes, and then it said explain, which I can't really, but those who know about tray bakes, apparently they are cakes that produce no crumbs. So that's Cafe Church next Sunday. To mention this Sunday evening, there's two things. There is the District Pentecost celebration at Altrincham Methodist Church, and that's with the President of Conference. Our President, Michaela Youngson, will be leading that service at Altrincham with the United Christian Singers. That's 6:30, Altrincham Methodist Church. What other notes is amongst these? You will have noticed the floral ribbon as you come in, and that's some wonderful work that's been done by Craft and Chatter. If you haven't seen that, please admire that. That's for Wilmslow in bloom. Emma has asked me to mention children's Bibles for parents, grandparents who haven't seen Bibles that children maybe, young people maybe getting later on. Then please have a look at those if you'd like to make a comment or choose particular Bibles, then they're on display at the back. Was that about right, Emma? It remains only to mention, oh no, it doesn't. There's two other things. Here we go. There is a church study through the Book of Acts, and you will have seen that, and you should have a leaflet about the study weeks 1, 2, 3, Church is Born, study the Book of Acts, and that ties in with Pentecost, so please take that. The retiring collection will be for MHA, also formerly known as Methodist Home for the Aged, so that's for the elderly. And if you want to contribute with gift aid, there are envelopes which you may have picked up, or please pick up. We'll have a retiring collection at the end. It now only remains to say there is film club this evening. That is Victoria and Abdul. And that's sometime this evening. It's on the notices. And the choir are going to do it. Oh no! We welcome Charles Nevin. We forget that bit. It's lovely to have Charles with us as always, and we look forward to him and friends, whoever, later on. Thank you, Charles. The choir will do an introit, and then it'll be Charles.
Let us pray. God of energy and purpose, as lava erupts from a volcano, so may your spirit erupt today. As water thunders down a waterfall, so may your spirit thunder today. As a downpour refreshes a tired garden, so may your spirit refresh us today, that, gathered together with confidence, we may celebrate this special day. Amen. Good morning, welcome to worship on this bright morning. I'm glad to say that hopefully the notices didn't actually take longer than the sermon, but we'll see how things work out later. But it's good to be with you this morning on this very special day, the day in which, as a church, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, the power of the church let loose in the wonder and the empowerment of the Spirit. And for that we give thanks today. And we continue in song with 372, Come Down, O Love Divine. 372, Come Down, O Love Divine. Let us pray. Our loving Lord God, we come with a joy and thanksgiving today. We come with a sense of excitement and wonder. We come with that sense of expectation that met those early disciples so many years ago as they waited and wondered what might happen and when it might happen. We come, Lord, to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. We come to celebrate the Christ who is alive in hearts and minds today. Whoever touches and changes lives, who makes a difference because of his continuing presence. We come, Lord, to give you thanks that when it seemed all else had fallen, you rose again but didn't just rise again, you came again in your Holy Spirit, that it might not be a piece of history, something lost in time, but a living reality that touches and changes human lives each day, gives it purpose, gives it a sense of movement, enables each one of us to fulfill our lives completely in the power of the Spirit. And so it is a day of joy, a day of thanksgiving. It's a day of recognition of the gift we have received, the gift of grace, the gift of the undeserved love of God that has touched and changed our lives. And so, Lord, bless our lives. Give them that sense of energy, that sense of movement, that sense of zeal that enables us to live fully in the power of the Spirit. But also, Lord, help us to be better Christians. When it seems that we do our very best, it doesn't quite work out, we go our own way, we get confused, we do the right things the wrong way, or do the wrong things in the right way. Whatever we do, Lord, we don't seem to manage quite to get it right. And so we come, Lord, not to beat ourselves up, not to feel sorry for ourselves, but rather to say, Lord, we made a bit of a mess of last week. There are a few occasions we didn't really work out. Sorry. And as we say we're sorry, we know we are forgiven. We know that the God receives us each time, that our God touches and changes our lives, that his Spirit fills us again with the energy to make a difference. And so, Lord, bless us in this coming week. Help us to live a better life. Help us always to be conscious of that prompting Spirit that gives us a sense of movement, a sense of power, but a sense of humility, that in all this, that we are touched and changed by the grace, the undeserved love of God. And for that, may our lives sing with praise and glory. This prayer we offer in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, I had to bring you, didn't I? I'd be in real trouble if Scruff didn't turn up. Yeah, I thought so. Okay, Scruff, this is your big moment. We're going to come down. You know what it's like, basically. Dogs can't take the height, really. We need to sort of move about. Hello. You okay? Yeah, good. Excellent. Okay. Well, how's life with you, Scruff? You're excited. What are you excited about? Sorry? You're going on a management course? Why are you going on a management course? So you can boss other dogs about. I don't think actually that's what management courses are about. You don't make yourself very popular. But you are going on a management course. Are you sure you're going on a management course? Why would you go on a management course? Sorry, yeah, all right, I'm sorry about that, but all right, this is the letter, is it? Okay, let's have a look at the letter. What does the letter say? Dear Scruffy, it's from the post office. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Didn't have to pay the post, did they? Dear Scruffy, because you keep chasing, barking and threatening to bite our post deliverers, you're to be sent on an anger management course. Please report. It's not the same. It's not the same. No, there aren't any perks. What sort of perks do you expect? Free chocolate drops. Sausages. And what? Your own box at Rovers Football. No, it doesn't happen, basically. You don't get that. Anger management. Why are you going to anger management? Because you run after the postman. And you enjoy it. Well, that's not very good, is it? So you're sending on this course. The whole point of anger management is to stop you... Yes. Yeah, enough. To stop you getting cross. Yep. Stop you getting cross. So, it makes a difference. It means that you don't get angry. Yeah, that would be clever for you, wouldn't it? You won't get angry. So, it makes you a different person. You're not sure you want to be a different person. It gives you a sense of peace. You can control things. It makes you better inside. Sorry? You don't want to see what's inside you. No, I didn't think you probably did at the end of the day. But, Christians, You know, we feel better inside because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, we remember that Holy Spirit that changes our lives, that makes us different. But you enjoy running after postmen and biting them. Yeah, but that's not the point of it. It makes you feel better. It also reminds you when you're not doing the right thing, when you're doing it wrong. So today, try and stop chasing postmen. And no, anger management isn't the same as a management course. But remember today that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that makes the biggest difference. Sorry? And now you want to go to sleep. Okay. No snoring. And he's gone to bed. I have to go back to find out what I'm doing next now. And now we'll receive our offer for the work of this church and circuit. Loving Lord Jesus, receive these our gifts of money, use them in the work of your church and circuit. Grant that it will make a difference how we live our lives and how we show to others that here from this place comes the love and power of God. Receive also, Lord, the gifts of bread and wine that we seek to consecrate in your name, that we might be reminded that we are people together, joined by the power of the Spirit and held by the love of God. This prayer we offer in Christ's holy name. Amen. From the hymn book 397, the Spirit lives to set us free. Walk, walk in the light.
Thank you.
And now, in recognition of that we split to go different ways, the Sunday Club and Sunday School and stay here, we ask God's blessing upon all that takes place here and in teaching elsewhere, that it might remind us that we are one family, learning day by day the richness of God's grace and the wonder of the gospel story. Amen.
The reading is taken from John, chapter 14, reading verses 8 to 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Thanks be to God.
And our next hymn, 369, Baptize of Your Spirit, Majestic, Humble Christ. It's very easy at this moment just to be quite comfortable about the coming of the Spirit. It's okay, we know it happened. I want to put yourself just where the disciples were. The disciples were even more confused. They had lived their life of service. They had followed Jesus as their Lord and Master. They had listened to his message. They had seen his miracles. They had sat at his feet. They had become dependent upon him. And then suddenly, he was arrested, he was crucified, and they didn't know what to do. What would happen now? They were left in this limbo, this what will happen next, what can we do now? And then of course came the resurrection. Now, this was even more puzzling. What's going on? What's happening? What does it all mean that the world is very much turned upside down as they try to make sense of it? And then of course Jesus appears to them. He appears to them in an upper room. He appears to them by the lakeside. He comes and goes. And there's a sense of still unrealism. He's still about. He's not quite the same that he was, but he's still there. And then came that moment when he took them to the Mount of Ascension. And at that point, he disappeared from their sight. Now, this is yet more puzzling. He comes and goes. Is he going to come again? What's going to happen next? And of course, he's spoken to them about the power of the Spirit. He's spoken to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But that didn't really mean anything. They didn't quite know what that meant. They knew in Old Testament times what it meant, and they understood from their scriptures, from their own Hebrew scriptures, what the Spirit was. But what did it mean in this context? What did it mean to them now? And so we find this other limbo time, sort of just over a week, 10 days, when they don't know what's happening. And of course, it's not 10 days to them, because they didn't know what was going to happen when. And they were waiting for something, and they didn't know what was going to happen or when it was going to happen. Imagine that time of confusion, of doubt, of fear, of wondering really what the future is now without the physical Jesus. Or is he going to come back? Is he suddenly going to... He said he was going, but he did that last time. Will he come back again? There's that unrealism about it all. And then they are sat again, not just for the first time. They've probably been sat together, cowering, hoping nothing would happen, but wondering what was going to happen. Fearful for their future, fearful for what they might do. Do they go back to their fishing, their tax collecting, to their various jobs? And is it just a great memory? Is it something that they look back on, like a sort of year backpacking around Thailand? Is it something that they will remember? Or is it something that has changed their lives and will now make them different people? And they struggle to make sense of what's going on. And here in this upper room, they wait and they wonder, they pray, but they're not quite sure what. And then suddenly, in the midst of it all, there is an incredible experience. The sound of rushing wind. Suddenly the room is filled with noise, with a sense of energy, a sense of movement, a sense of power that they almost absorb into their very being. They become part of their molecular structure. Suddenly they are given a lift, and then the Spirit comes as fire. It over each of them, it comes and provides again that visible sense, not just the power that they can feel, but the power they can see, that visible sense of the Spirit coming in the tongues of flame that again lift them and give them a sense of energy. It's a strange time, because of course it also fits in with Pentecost. Pentecost is in fact the period from Passover right through the Festival of Weeks. We've got to the point now where the end of the spring harvest is recognized and preparation for the Festival of Booths that appear later in the year. It's a time of new life. It's a time of new beginning within the Jewish calendar. And so it's appropriate that here, on this day, at this time, should come the power of the Spirit to give new life, to give birth, to give a new sense of energy. The world is changing. The world is changing. And they are part of that change in a way they would not have imagined. Nor are they quite clear still what it means, except suddenly they are different people. And I want to reflect on that in a moment. Joanna was a mixed race, lived in South Africa, and she was part of Truth and Reconciliation. She saw the Truth and Reconciliation that was going on in South Africa and said, what can I do about that? How can I make a difference? And so she decided to visit one of the worst prisons in the area, the sort of prison where even the warders were afraid to go into the depths. It was controlled by the gangs. It was somewhere where it wasn't safe to be, where even in the depths of the prison, the warders didn't have any control. And so she felt it was right. So she went into the prison. And in spite of all the advice, she went into the very depths of the prison, into the place where there was so much fear and so much sense of energy and violence. And she talked to the prisoners. She talked to them about their lives. She talked to them about God. And over the year that she worked with them, what previously were 269 different incidents within the prison. At the end of that year, it had dropped down to 2. She'd made the most incredible difference. And when she was asked, well, what did you do? What did you do? She said simply, all I did was to tell them that God was in prison. I just had to make him visible. I told them that God was in prison. I just had to make him visible. God was always there. And so it is with this power of the Spirit. God is given that sense of energy, that sense of presence. God is always there. And all we're called to do is enable others to see him, to see the power of God's love. In the gospel reading, the disciples, these discourses between the Passover meal and the arrest of Jesus are all about trying to reassure the disciples, give them a sense of identity, a sense of hope for the future. He reminds them that he comes from the Father, he goes back to the Father, that the Father's love, the Father's sense of concern for them will always be there. And then he speaks about the coming of the Advocate, the Counselor, the Paraclete, the one who will walk beside them, the one who will give them power, who will enable them to be the Christians that they need to be, enable them to live the life that God wants them to live. And I wonder how much this was in their minds, because in the midst of this teaching, immense amount of teaching in this part of John's Gospel, they have to carry this forward and see what does it mean. And here, I wonder if they thought back now to those words from Jesus, those words in John's Gospel, those words that John recorded, that here was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I want to think about 3 things in that. I think about what it did to the apostles, what it did in the apostles, and what it did through them. To, in, and through. Let's think about that in turn. They were together. As we said, they were together. They were trying to make sense of what would happen to them in the future. And then came the wind. And then came the fire. Then came those incredible visual and powerful experiences that allowed God to enter into them. And their reaction. They suddenly were filled with a sense of power, a sense of energy. Remember that Peter went out and preached. Peter went out immediately and talked to the people about what had happened. He spoke about what had gone on. He went and spoke about the power of Jesus. They were transformed. They were transformed by the power of the Spirit. They were moved from a frightened and confused group to one that would change the world, who would make a difference, who would suddenly discover within them a power and a peace that they never had before. Scruffy went on his anger management course. He had to make sense of what life was about, but actually the difference is what needs to happen inside. The difference that happens, the peace and the sense of understanding how to live our lives needs to be within our hearts and minds. And so here to the apostles became a new understanding of how they ought to live their lives, the purpose that they have. If you like, it was the beginning of their mission statement. What are we here for? What is our purpose? And suddenly that purpose is made clear. They are there to proclaim the good news, the apostolic kerygma, that message of Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ come again, that great picture of salvation. Charles Wesley was a great hymn writer and a great preacher, but in his 30th year he became very ill and he feared for his own life. At that time he was teaching a man called Peter Bowler to be a missionary. And Peter Bowler came to see Charles, as bad as he was, and talked to him about how he felt. And he said, do you know
are you saved? And he said, yes, I'm saved. Then he said, how do you know you're saved? He said, well, I do all these things. I preach, I do all these great things. But how do you know that you are saved? And Charles sat back and listened to the story and then talked to Peter to discover the grace, the undeserved love of God. He discovered what it was not to be searching in works for salvation, but to receive that gift of grace, that gift of salvation. He bought an understanding. It's not about what Charles Wesley does. It's about what God does through him. How God in his spirit changes his heart. And he wrote immediately after that one of his most famous hymns, Over a Thousand Tongues That Sing My Great Redeemer's Praise. And one of the verses is, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the fouls clean. His blood availed for me. There's Charles Wesley. Life changed because he discovered that it's not what Charles does. It's what God does in Christ to change his life. And so the apostles were changed. This change was to the apostles, but also a change in the apostles. They were frightened, they were confused. They didn't know what to do before then. And suddenly, they had a sense of power. They had a courage that they never had before. And it wasn't just Peter going out of the balcony, but it was each of them going their different ways and being prepared to stand even on the steps of the temple and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To say, Christ, the one we followed, died, rose again, is now living in our hearts and minds. They began that great story, a story of joy. They were turned from fear, from trembling in corners, from darkness and despair into joy. You know that one of my great preachers of Methodism was Billy Bray. Billy Bray of the Cornish Miner. Billy Bray was a hard-drinking, womanizing gambler who encountered Christ, whose life totally changed. And he was involved in many parts of evangelism. Many small chapels in Cornwall in particular were built through Billy's efforts. He also was involved in the Welsh Revival. And he used to go down in the mines each day and pray for those who came into the mines and said, Lord, if somebody's got to die today, let it be me, because I am ready. Let it be me. And he was so full of joy that people found him a bit wearing. And he was at a meeting once where people were a bit dour, a bit negative. You come across those. Church councils a bit like that sometimes. A bit dour about negative. And he bounced up and said, I praise the Lord, he said. I've been taking vinegar and honey every day. But I praise the Lord, vinegar by the spoonful and honey by the ladleful. Full of the glory and the greatness of God, bouncing for joy. And so for the apostles, there was that sense of joy, that sense of release and relief, that they suddenly had a purpose and they had the courage to make that purpose happen, the courage to make a difference. Many of you recall the story of the secret garden. There's Colin, the young boy who's held in his room, who's persuaded by grown-ups that he can't walk, that daylight would affect him. And then Mary comes from India. Nobody told her this story about Colin. And so she finds Colin, and she discovers Colin's a bit of a wimp. So she decides to do something about it. And so she throws open the curtains. Colin is beside himself. I'll die. All this light, I can't cope with this light. And she works with him and eventually gets him out in a wheelchair into the garden in spite of his protestations. And the story goes on that he gains more and more confidence until eventually he actually stands. And then he begins to walk. And then he runs. And then he dances. And he discovers who he can be. He's full of joy and wonder. because the constraints that other people have put upon him have been moved away. He's been filled with a new power. The disciples, constrained by their own fears, by their own doubts, were released by the power of the Spirit to make a difference in the world. And so we think about what happened through the apostles, through this group of men sitting in the upper room. They proclaimed the gospel, the good news. They went out and they talked to people about Jesus. They talked to them about what they'd seen and what they'd heard. They talked to them about the difference it makes to life, how that discovering God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's sense of energy for them, they can find that life is incredibly fulfilling, incredibly exciting, incredibly challenging. They spoke of the need of Christ, and others were brought in. Others that we know, like Paul and Silas and Barnabas, who were brought in, and over the generations, more and more were brought in to this energy, this good news, this sense of God with them. And so began the work of the gospel. So from this upper room began the change that would affect the whole world. That energy, that sense of God's power changing and transforming the world. The other Wesley, John Wesley, you remember that great Aldersgate experience, he said, "I went reluctantly to a Bible study at Aldersgate Street, and there they were looking at Luther's preface to Romans. And I went reluctantly, rather stay at home basically than drag out, and probably a cold and wet night, but I went out there and I listened, and he said, suddenly my heart was strangely warmed, and I knew in my heart that I'd been saved by grace, and I knew that I was a child of God." And in that moment, John Wesley discovered, as Paul had, Charles had discovered shortly before, that it wasn't about what you've done, it wasn't about the works, it wasn't about all the energy you put into it. Rather, it is to be open to the energy of God and be transformed by that energy. And so our call today is to live in that sense of zeal, that sense of power, that sense of courage, that sense of hope, that sense of mission that the church, as small as it might be, as struggling as it might be in parts of the world, it is growing in other parts. God's Spirit is there, changing and transforming life. And today, let us celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us celebrate that God in Christ Jesus was reborn in our hearts by the power of that Spirit. Let us remember that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we have within us that same power that those disciples received so many years ago. And let us rejoice in that sense of power. And so the Spirit is transforming. It transforms our thoughts, our hearts, our minds, our futures. It is liberating. It takes away those constraints that others put on. Like Colin, who couldn't walk because people said he couldn't. Now we're liberated to know that we can be all that we can be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we empowered by that Spirit. The energy we need, that sense of mission, that sense of being able to make a difference, is there. We can no longer say, sorry, we're not very good, we can't do it. God says, no, let my Spirit live in your heart, drive forward, and you can make a difference. You can be different. And so today, we give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And let us hold on to that. For that is what drives us forward. That is what makes the church that it is. That's what we need. If we turn aside and look to see how good we are or what we can achieve or how we can make a difference by our own efforts, we will fail. If we lay ourselves before God and say, Lord, we don't know what to do, let your Spirit fill our hearts. Let your Spirit fill our church. Let us be dependent upon your grace. Then the church will grow. Amen. And now we'll listen to a song, a modern song, which speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul.
Passion for your purity, Holy Spirit. before me, Christ behind me and Christ in me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down and Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of all creation.
M 588, I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free. I've had a general swap round of the order of service in the sense I've managed to get it totally out of order. So now, just to give it the final context, we'll actually listen to the reading from Acts, just so Dave doesn't think he sat there doing nothing.
The second reading is from Acts.
And it's Acts 2. And it's 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Judea and Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages. We hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Now Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen.
Now we're going to our prayers of intercession. At the end of each prayer I will say, "With our whole selves we pray, will you respond? Will you respond with, 'Come, Holy Spirit of God.' With our whole hearts we pray, 'Come, Holy Spirit of God.'" Let us pray. As the body of Christ, in the power of the Spirit, let us pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the people of God all over the world and in all worship traditions, for a readiness to be changed and made new, for a softening of the ground of our hearts to receive without fear. With our whole selves we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit of God," for all the peoples of the earth to know you and honour your name, for the healing of the nations, and a new thirst for righteousness and purity at every level and in every aspect of society, for a dissatisfaction with the pursuits of pleasure and all that distracts us from our true calling. With our whole selves we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit of God," for the grace and power to live out our faith in the real and challenging world, among those we meet and eat with, whose lives we share, without compromising that calling to be the body of Christ, living God's integrity and purity, forgiveness and love. With our whole selves we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit of God," for those whose lives feel empty or cheated or filled with pain or worry or guilt, for all whose hopes and dreams are in tatters, all who are in any way imprisoned. With our whole selves we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit of God," for those who walk in the dark journey of death and for all who have come through it into your presence, for mourners distressed by regrets or angry with God at their loss. With our whole selves we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit of God," for all you have in store for us, we thank you. We look forward to walking into the future of your promise, alive with your life. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." And now we come to our service of communion, our continuing service, to give thanks to God for his grace in the power of the bread and the wine. And we follow the words on the screen. I will say the words in light type if you respond with the words in heavy type. God has prepared a room for us, fire to warm our hearts, water to wash our weary feet, the table set and waiting. And now from beyond time, the breath of the Spirit comes whispering to the fabric of time to call us in. So come, whether your time is just beginning or many years in the making, whether your hours are filled and fruitful or wanting and withered, whether you have invested wisely or buried your coins in the ground. For here at this table, through the power of the Spirit, God's time and our time come together in bread and wine, in praise of timeless and timely grace. And so, through the remembrance gifted us by the Spirit, we recall how Jesus, drawing near to the end of his time on earth, ate a last meal with his friends. We remember how his words and actions disconcerted and dismayed them, but also how he offered them comfort and encouragement for the time to come, breaking open a loaf of bread. And pouring out a cup of wine. To share with them as a sign of his kingdom and promising them the companionship of the Spirit as they followed its way. And so as inheritors in this time of both the challenge and the comfort, join now with all who have made this journey in other places and at other times, raising our voices in the timeless song of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And as we share these gifts of grace, may the Holy Spirit take and transform them, that we may know both their comfort and their challenge, and to find ourselves and our time in turn transformed. Here is bread and wine, touched and transformed by the Spirit. Come, eat and drink, and be healed and strengthened for this time being and for the time to come. Remind you that this is a gift of grace. This is God's gift. It's one that we received. You're welcome to come. In Methodism we have an open table. All who love the Lord are welcome to come without precondition. What is not our gift is the gift of God in Christ Jesus. Come now and receive that gift. At the end of each table, I will dismiss with a blessing. Come now to receive this gift of grace. Go now in the power of God's Spirit to transform the world by that sense of empowerment, by that sense of love. Amen. Suddenly out of nowhere the Spirit came and changed the world, changed perceptions, changed a sense of self-worth, gave a new dimension. Lord, we offer this, and we ask that as we go from this place, we shall be transformed by the power of that Spirit. Go now in his peace. Amen. In the silence and the wondering came that same Spirit to give hope to give direction, to give a sense of purpose. Grant that that same Spirit, who came so many years ago, might enter our hearts and minds and prepare us to serve God in our community, that through us, others may be transformed by the indwelling power of God. Go in the power of that Spirit. Amen. Our final hymn, 391, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. Holy Spirit of God, breathe hope into your hearts, transform your fears, and bless you with the gifts of courage, compassion, and understanding, that you may share your faith with renewed confidence and new commitment. And so may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.